It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Happy Friday. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website, Kim Munson. That's MONSON.com. Podcasts and recaps of the show is there. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. And sign up for our weekly newsletter. That is becoming richer and richer every week. And we will be including two new podcasts that you'll want to hear. One will be with John Harpole regarding Rocky Mountain energy producers. And the other we're going to record here a little bit later this morning is with Dr. Jill Vecchio. We'll be talking about reopening, what that looks like, and she and I may look at things a little differently. And so that is going to be a great podcast. And they are now on the website. We rolled them out a little earlier than we had really wanted to, as far as we'd love to do the recaps like we do for the shows. And we will get that done here within the next couple of weeks. But we thought that these subjects were so important that we went ahead and started sounding off with Kim Munson. So be sure and check that out. These are pretty rich, aren't they, Steve?
Yes, and nobody sounds off better than Kim Munson. And I think it's kind of funny. We have always said since we started doing this show, because of the limitation of time, we always end up with 10 pounds of stuff to put in a 5-pound bag. And sure enough, that is now over on the website as well. It is full.
It is very full. And then there's also a couple of op-eds there as well, one from Lyle Laverty he was on this show on Wednesday, and just breaks down how, in fact, radical environmentalist groups have figured out how to fund their agendas with our money. And then there's going to be a really good one from Pam Long. She was a former captain in the Army Medical Corps, and she graduated from West Point, and it's about data on this COVID thing. So we've got the podcast, we've got the op-eds. So be sure and sign up for our newsletter that comes out on Sundays. You know, another thing that we added in here is our headlines for hope. And I'm currently going through the story of Jody Lander, World War II veteran, who jumped into Normandy on D-Day. And the story is, there's so many stories that we will be doing part four today. They're just 3 minutes long. And Steve, I hope you're enjoying Jody's story because it is fascinating. He's a Texas boy. And I did get to interview him a couple of times. And I think it's an amazing story. What do you think?
You know, he was a paratrooper. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine jumping out of a plane during the day. But you listen to the story and you think about what happened and the way Normandy unfolded. Jumping out of a plane in the dark, oh my gosh, I can't even comprehend it. Yeah. Oh, and taking the anti-aircraft fire while you're trying to get to your drop point.
It's amazing, isn't it? So we'll record the fourth segment here a little bit later this morning as well, but it's a great story, so be sure and check that out. So Headlines for Hope, we've got Sounding Off, we've got the show recaps. There's all kinds of information there. Okay, Steve, as we are looking at these issues, Rudyard Kipling, he says, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. And we need to be looking at these issues within that lens instead of, oh, experts say close down the economy. Experts say, experts, prove it. Prove it. That's one of the things. So as we're walking through this, we're going to turn back and we're going to be able to look in the rearview mirror. Who overstepped their power? Who acted like a dictator? Who didn't really tell us the truth? Who based things on modeling that they couldn't even back up? And so we're going to have the rearview mirror, and we're going to want to remember that as we go to the voting booth each time we go to vote, Steve. It's very important.
Yes, on Fox News, I found the story about what's going on in Michigan. Everyone has heard by now, hopefully, that, the governor seemed to go overboard in the last 10 days.
Think?
Well, I mean, there are some things that she's stepping into here, And it really smells. You know, the old thing is, yeah, I can smell what you're stepping in from here. You know, the deal about we're not going to let people buy seeds, you know, to work in their gardens and the kind of stuff. I mean, that's massive overreach. So sure enough, she was visited by some protesters yesterday or last night at her home. And the protesters dubbed it Operation Queen's Castle. And they had a big banner featuring a picture of her wearing a crown. So I think what they're saying is rather obvious.
Well, you know what, with Saul Alinsky, one of the things that, you know, he did Rules for Radicals. One of the things that he says is to put onto your opponent what you're really doing. So all these people that were calling Donald Trump king, remember that? Remember when, who was that? Was that during the Blasey thing, the Kavanaugh hearings? When they started to talk about, oh, yeah, remember that I didn't name my son Barron because I'm not a king or something along that line? So remember how they were trying to make Donald Trump look like a dictator or a king? But now we get through COVID-19 and we see who the real people are on overstepping their power. And it's all the way from, I can't figure out why we don't have city council people and county commissioners throughout the country standing up to these overreaching governors. I just can't quite figure that out, Steve.
Well, I would say that maybe they're in concurrence, in agreement.
Yeah, because, you know, everybody says all government is local. Well, how about let's start to have our local officials start to step up on that. But let's go ahead. We've got a great show planned for you today. We're going to be talking with Karen Levine, RE/MAX Alliance award-winner realtor in the second segment, and Lauren Levy. You know him. He's a mortgage specialist with Polygon Financial. And we'll find out what's happening in the real estate market and interest rates for mortgages. Jason McBride will be at the bottom of the hour with Presidential Wealth Management. And then Rick Turnquist, author and blogger. We're going to talk about should the Colorado State Legislature maybe just not come back into session? And then also we'll talk a little bit about money here in the Colorado government as well. So tomorrow night, though, something really cool. Out in Parker, we're going to be meeting to do a photo shoot, a video shoot for Melania Trump's birthday. It's one of her big birthdays on Sunday. And Reggie Carr with I'm a Trumpster has put together this amazing video. It's about 3 minutes, and we're going to videotape us with that and send it to the White House to wish her well. Because, you know, it's amazing to me, Steve, of all the first ladies, she's hardly ever on the cover of magazines. She's hardly ever interviewed in any of the women's magazines. And, you know, she didn't really probably ever think that when she married Donald Trump that she was going to be first lady and that, you know, they'd be going through everything that they're going through. So we're going to be wishing her a very happy birthday. And so if you would like more information on that, email me at kim@kimmunson.com. That's MONSON.com. And I'll get that information to you a little bit later today. But I think it's going to be a very cool thing, Steve.
Well, what we call FLOTUS, FLOTUS, First Lady of the United States, that position, there have been some tremendous things done over our history from the person occupying that position. And I believe this person has a lot to give. And the way she's treated by, you know, the media is just, it's very sad.
It is very sad. And she's one of the most beautiful women in the world right now. So you would think you'd want to have one of the most beautiful women in the world on your front of your magazine. But my gosh, it's not happening. So we're going to wish her a happy birthday and would love to have you join me to do that. So as we look at these issues, as freedom versus force, force versus freedom, or as Tom Goodfellow, my friend, says, freedom versus fear, fear versus freedom. And ultimately, socialism has to come down to force. And if something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihoods via force, whether it's with a weapon policy, unpredictable or excessive taxation, or creating fear and panic through something like COVID-19. So just keep that in mind. I always like to say thank you to this amazing team that I get to work with, Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And each of you listeners, you're each treasured, you're valued. Strive for excellence today. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And do something productive. Be industrious. And so with that, our quote for today is from Euripides. He was a tragedian of classical Athens and one of the three ancient Greek tragedians for whom a significant number of plays have survived. Some ancient scholars attributed 92 plays to him. Of these, 18 or 19 have survived more or less complete, and there are also fragments from some of the others. In the Hellenistic age, a cornerstone of ancient literary education, along with Homer, Demosthenes, and Menander, he lived in 480 BC to 406 BC. And this quote has been attributed to a lot of different people, so I went to probably the original. And this is what he said. We and all others who believe in freedom as deeply as we do would rather die on our feet than live on our knees. That's pretty powerful, Steve.
I'm just marveling at that word. I can't even say it. But the word tragedian? That's a new word for me.
It's a new word for me, too. I try to make sure I know the pronunciations, but I hope that's the right one on that. I did check out how to pronounce his name, Euripides.
It plainly shows what I was doing in literature class. Okay, carry on.
Again, we and all others who believe in freedom as deeply as we do would rather die on our feet than live on our knees. And so, our funnies for today. Are you ready, Steve?
Oh, yes.
What's the difference between COVID-19 and Romeo and Juliet? One's the coronavirus, and the other is a Verona crisis.
It might be a little too soon for that one.
I'm sorry. Okay. As you all know, the House passed a $484 billion relief package. I know there's a lot of us that are very concerned about just the printing of money. So we're going to have a moment after we get through this, and we're going to have to figure out a way to cut spending. It's just going to have to happen. Next thing, this is from Fox News. Nearly all New York coronavirus patients suffered underlying health issues, a study finds. And Steve, I was thinking about this. I heard Harris Faulkner speak at a luncheon a few years ago. And what she said is that the truth is the facts in context. And her example was that, say, we're at this luncheon, there's an empty chair, there's a purse there. We see a man come in, picks up the purse, and walks out. And the media says, man takes purse at luncheon. And so it implies that he stole it. But in essence, what really had happened is the man and his wife had to leave early. And so they went to the car. She said, oh, honey, I forgot my purse. Would you go get it? And so he goes back into the room. He picks up the purse and he takes it. And the truth is yes, the man took the purse, but the implication was that he stole it. But in reality, it was his wife's purse. And the truth, you needed to have the whole thing there to put that into context. So does that make sense to you, Steve?
It does. And I think I know where you're going with this. This has been a problem since, I don't want to say day one, because when was day one of the time of the virus? One of the early reports coming from the Northwest that six people died from coronavirus, and boom, they stopped. A day or two later, you found out those six people were all in the same nursing home, which provided context. But it seems like the media is not interested in context.
Well, they haven't, because if you put it in context, then you can't just create panic and fear with everybody. And so yesterday I was talking with someone, and he said that he was originally from New York, and so he knows a lot of people back there. And he has a friend, or his cousin's friend's son, 32 years old, died from the coronavirus. And you go, oh my gosh. And then he says, but he was 400 pounds and was diabetic. And so I think it's important to understand that it's tragic. I'm not saying it's okay. But what I'm saying is this, give us some context within all of this reporting instead of trying to create this fear and panic. And then, of course, you see, for example, Tri-County Health out here in Douglas and Adams and let's see what I can't remember the other county right now. We're seeing the director there is, I think, again, he's trying to figure out different excuses to not let us open up yet. And I don't think that they're looking at these things within context. So we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, you know, it's a difficult time for our restaurants, our bars, and our taverns. And so it's important as much as possible to take takeout. And Hooters Restaurants is one of my great partners, and I'd highly recommend that you go to order.hooters.com and get some takeout there. They have curbside service. You can just drive up, and they'll bring it right out to your car. So, again, check out order.hooters.com. And let's go to break. When we come back, we will be talking with Karen Levine. She is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance to figure out or get a report on what's happening with the real estate market as we're going through this COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption. We'll be right back.
Water's Edge Winery and Bistro is celebrating 5 years in business and is now open Tuesday through Sunday, 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Located near the northwest corner of Arapahoe and University, they are offering to-go food and wine to keep you fed and happy. Call 720-381-6663 to place our curbside to-go order, or stop in and grab your bottles and lunch or dinner. That's 720-381-6663, or follow Water's Edge Winery and Bistro Centennial on Facebook or Instagram for updates and specials.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouthwatering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. You can do that at the website. And if you want to join me tomorrow night for this video shoot for Melania Trump's birthday, just email me at kim@kimmunson.com. On the line with me is Karen Levine. You know her. She is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. Karen Levine, happy Friday.
Happy Friday. How have you been, Kim?
I'm doing just fine. My exercise consists of going up and down my stairs right now.
Well, we've been getting out to walk the dogs, and so the dogs, of course, are very happy, as are we.
Well, that's good. So, hey, what is happening with the real estate market? A week or so ago, I think that the real estate was moved from a non-essential business, from an essential business to a non-essential business. Has that opened up a little bit for you?
No, but we are hopeful that it will next week. We were told by the governor that we could return to showing property and needing sellers, as long as we adhere to appropriate social distancing. And RE/MAX Alliance was very proactive on the front end, putting in guidelines of how we would do business not as usual. So we're prepared to get back in the market and help buyers and sellers with their real estate needs. I'm a little concerned at what will happen with the city and county of Denver and how we'll be able to operate there if they choose to extend the stay-at-home order, which I heard was possible last night. So I guess today we might get some clarity on what that's going to look like. But we'll be able to get people in houses and give them a little more sense of security than purchasing real estate virtually and not seeing it. But I found super exciting, Kim, is we had talked about we're a creative and we use ingenuity, and we don't, as sole proprietors, self-employed people, we just didn't sit stagnant. We looked at ways to help the consumer continue to conduct real estate business. And in the last 7 days, we've put over 1,000 properties under contract. So that's pretty
exciting. That is pretty exciting. Yeah. So even so, the creativity and innovation of the mind is amazing. And I think that's one of the things that sometimes people forget, that it's not static. You know, something happens, and if you unleash the creativity, then we can get things done. So 1,000 homes under contract, and that was just within the last week, Karen?
Yeah, last 7 days.
Wow. Okay. So as we are getting into now springtime, hopefully we're going to get opened up here just very shortly. If people are interested in buying or selling their home, it's a really good idea, particularly now, to work with a professional that's been in the business for a while. So tell us just a little bit about your experience, Karen Levine.
Well, I have been helping buyers and sellers with their real estate needs for over 30 years, and I work equally with buyers and sellers, so I think I have a good understanding of what the needs of both parties are because I spend time with both. And so to put a transaction together, you have to be able to coordinate the needs of both and create a good, positive, as we would term, win-win transaction. I have strong negotiating skills, which allows me to advocate on behalf of the client I'm working for. And I'm very involved in the Realtor Association's and statistics, so I have a good handle on what we can expect in the marketplace with regards to what you can buy a property for, what you could sell a property for, and what type of marketing is necessary in today's market, but in any market. You know, how do we personalize those marketing pieces to attract the best and strongest buyers to sellers' properties?
Okay. And so I'd highly recommend that people reach out to you. Your number is 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516. Karen Levine, thank you so much. You're one of my valued partners, and I greatly appreciate you.
Well, thanks for having me on, Kim, and we'll continue to work through this new normal and continue to help people with their real estate needs.
Most definitely. So have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too.
Okay, Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial. He works with a number of different mortgage companies so that he can help you find what is absolutely tailored best for you. So, Lauren Levy, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Kim. Thank you.
Happy Friday. We made it, Lauren. We made it through the week.
Yeah.
That's good. What's going on with interest rates?
You know, they're continuing to remain at the low level they've been at for, gosh, seemingly quite a little bit of time now. We're seeing some positivity this week. Some of the lenders that had some additional tight restrictions on certain things are starting to get some clarity on the federal side of things as to what their risk is, and they're starting to remove a few of their extra layers that they put on things, which is great to see. Hopefully that continues to happen more. But, you know, rates are still really low, and they've stayed that way now for quite some time.
Okay, so if somebody's looking for a house, they can call Karen, but it's good to be prepared and ready to go. So that's that whole pre-qualify thing that they would do with you, right, Lauren?
That's right, yep.
Okay, and then refinancing. If somebody wanted to refinance, maybe they need to want to get some additional cash or something, that might be an option also with these low interest rates, correct?
Absolutely. You know, it's just been a crazy week. Just yesterday, I talked to three or four different people that all, one of them had a rate still in the 5% range from years ago, which is surprising. But I had one customer that had rates at 3.875 on two different properties, and we were able to lower them down to about 3.25 and save them a couple $100 a month on each property. So there's a lot of opportunity out there for the refinancing as well as getting pre-qualified to buy before you go looking. And I would just suggest anybody who has a rate, even where close to 4%, that they call and at least get a checkup done and take a look and see. And if they're not in a position to be helped, then we'll just let them know that they're in a good spot. But there may be opportunities there for a lot of people.
Oh, my gosh. If you could save $200 on two different properties per month, that's going to be thousands of dollars over the life of the mortgage.
Yeah.
So that's amazing.
Absolutely.
So,
especially in these times like this when there is some uncertainty and people don't know, the more you can save, the better.
You think? That's a pretty good idea. Now, one other thing, and reverse mortgages. You and I were talking about this earlier this week. And so for, I guess, seniors, I guess it would be, this might be an option for them. So explain that just a little bit, Lauren.
Yeah, so the reverse mortgage program is a seniors program. You have to be 62 years or older to even get started. And it, what it does is it allows people who maybe have their home paid off or who have a mortgage but are having trouble with it, the reverse mortgage program will come in and pay off their current mortgage if they have enough equity. And so it could relieve them of the stress of having to make that payment, or it can allow seniors to access the cash in their house without having to make a payment back. The biggest thing about a reverse mortgage is that you don't have to make payments on it. And the one misnomer that's out there is people think, well, once I take out a reverse, then the bank takes the ownership of my house. And that is the furthest thing from the truth. The bank does not go into title. They're just a lien like any other mortgage, and the people and their families down the road maintain ownership of the house. So it's just a really good way, potentially, for the right person to access the equity in their home without having to pay it back, or to eliminate a payment that might be, you know, stopping them from enjoying their retirement.
Well, and as we are going through this COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption, this may be something that people might want to consider, because things are, you know, since, what, just 6-8 weeks ago, things have changed significantly here for a number of people. So that may be a really good option as well. So, Lauren, I think I have your phone number memorized. I'm going to try it. 303-880-8881, right?
You got it. Yep.
Okay, 303-880-8881. And what is your website, Lauren Levy?
It's www.polyfigroup.com.
Okay, Lauren Levy, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you, Kim.
Okay. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. Happy Friday.
Good morning. Happy Friday to you too, Kim.
So what's going on with the market?
Well, the market had kind of a mixed day yesterday. We were up strongly most of the day and then kind of faded out a little bit going into the close. Looks like the volume increased a little bit on the New York Exchange and also increased a little bit on the NASDAQ. So that's not ideal to see us give back the gains and come down on heavier volume. But it looks like the futures are up this morning, Kim. So again, the levels I'd be watching on the S&P, if we can get up and bust above about 2879 on the S&P, especially with a big pop in volume, that would be fabulous. On the Dow, I'm looking at about 24,300 would be a wonderful level to break above. And if you're watching the NASDAQ too, which most people are, I'd love to see us get back above about, let's call it hit 8,700. Also, with a commensurate increase in volume would be ideal.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. And one other thing, I asked you about Weight Watchers yesterday, because with everybody staying home and eating, I'm wondering if, you know, some of these, you know, weight loss stocks are going to be a good buy. And I think you said you had another idea or wanted to comment on that.
Well, yeah. Now, Weight Watchers, you kind of sent me running, Kim, which is good. I learned things. So Weight Watchers doesn't really seem to make their own packaged food like some of the other ones do and send it out. I mean, they have a couple of kits you can buy in the store. They've teamed up with like Blue Apron and other companies that send food, but it's not exactly the same. So I started looking for a couple of the ones that a lot of us have heard of. I mean, like Nutrisystem, we hear about them all the time. We've heard of the South Beach Diet. Well, it turns out that there's a company called Tivity, T-I-V-I-T-Y, Health, that owns both Nutrisystem and the South Beach Diet and several other kind of health and diet-related companies all under one roof. This stock has been beaten down just like everything else, Kim. It was sitting at about 24 back in February. Their fourth quarter earnings report didn't thrill everybody, and the stock took a pretty big dive, got all the way down to a buck. Well, now it's sitting at around seven. I actually think the chart looks a little bit interesting here, and their earnings are due out in about 2 weeks.
Interesting. Okay. So, well, if people have questions, they can reach out to you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management. And I have your phone number memorized also, 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And our, what is our website together, Jason?
Did you forget that?
No, I was just going to toss it over to you.
Oh, you just wanted me to say it. Oh, I'm
yes,
so difficult,
exactly.
Huh?
Yeah, yes.
I'm having fun with you, Kim. That's airpresidential.com. That's A-I-R, presidential.com. And from there, you can access all of Presidential Wealth Management's wonderful podcasts, information, everything about the firm. That's a nice landing page you and I made together, Kim.
I like it a lot. So, Jason McBride, thank you so much. We'll talk to you on Monday morning. You have a great weekend.
You too, Kim. Bye-bye.
Okay. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Rick Turnquest. You know him. He's an author and blogger. He's done some amazing op-eds that you can find at our website, kimmunson.com. Super detail on that. And we'll be talking with him about the Colorado State Legislature, and he thinks maybe they shouldn't come back into session this year. So we'll be right back with Rick Turnquest.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. It is just jam-packed of great information, our podcast, Sounding Off with Kim Munson, as well as our op-eds. There's going to be a couple in there that you'll really, really want to take a look at. And on the line with me is Rick Turnquest. He is an author and blogger. He's done some very important pieces that is at kimmunson.com. Rick Turnquest, happy Friday. Welcome to the show.
Kim, thanks. Good morning and happy Friday. It's nice to be with you this morning, virtually, for the second
virtually.
Time in a row.
One of these days, we're going to get to see each other in person, and that'll be a good thing. But you'd made a really interesting comment that maybe the state legislature shouldn't come back into session. So where did you come up with that idea?
Well, you know, it's funny. Out of all the, as this coronavirus thing was coming to grip the country and everybody's imaginations, when the leadership of the state legislature started talking about adjourning for a period of time, I was jubilant because the less time the legislature's in session, the better it is for freedom in Colorado. So, that's one of the bright spots through all this COVID-19. Miasma is the legislature's not down there doing their typical progressive mischief, and I think that's a good thing.
Now, they do need to pass a budget, though, so they're going to have to at least come back to do that, right?
Right. Well, you know, they could have been working virtually, and maybe they are, like the rest of us are. You know, I'm one of the fortunate people who's able to work from home and just happen to be super busy right now, which is why I haven't had a chance to write the usual monthly op-ed for you, Kim. But, they could certainly work from home as we are. And, you know, I understand that votes have to be in person and hearing from the public, you know, even though most of the time they're just going through the motions, that has to be a public forum as well. So, you know, with the risk of the coronavirus still out there and government saying that non-essential businesses, and you couldn't see my air quotes, but that's what I was doing. Mm-hmm. Non-essential businesses have to close. I think non-essential governments have to close too. And, you know, I think they should come back in session for a brief period of time, you know, over the next week or two as the state reopens and pass a budget for next year and then call it quits. You know, they get 120 calendar days according to our state constitution. And, you know, that 120 calendar days is supposed to be up on May the 6th, which is
6th? Okay.
Well, I had 6 on my calendar, but I could be wrong. But it's, you know, I have it marked in black on my calendar because it's, you know, it should be marked in a different color because it's actually a good day. But they should come back, pass a budget and call it quits, you know, you know, John Caldera wrote a great piece in Complete Colorado about how the state Supreme Court is, you know, it's an activist body. You know, they redefine calendar days so that it can mean just about anything. And so now the progressives who run the roost over there are thrilled that they're going to be able to come in and continue the session when the lockdowns are lifted.
Well, so there's that component, and you and I both had, and I think the intent on the 120 calendar days was that it would be consecutive. And, you know, that's one of the things that we're learning is with language is we have to be very precise. And when we're doing these things, because if we're not precise, then you can start to see, you know, people try to wiggle around with the gray area, which I think is really what happened. And I really think that there's a lack of integrity in doing that. But it is what it is. And so the Colorado Supreme Court has ruled that it can be 120 days. They do not have to be consecutive. But the other component that I found somewhat positive, you and I both have always wanted government to stay within its proper role, to stay within the boxes that it's supposed to be in. And it's gotten way out of control, collecting money and spending money on things that it's not supposed to be in their, you know, in their purveyance. And so one of the things with COVID-19 is government is going to have to contract because there's just not money out there. And I think that a lot of these progressives think that all of everyday people have a money tree in their backyard and they're just going to be able to tax us more. But it's you can't get blood out of a turnip, you know what? So what do you think about that?
Well, that's absolutely true. And it's actually, you know, quite an interesting dynamic going on right now with you know, businesses contracting, the economy, you know, going into a tailspin all because of this virus. And, you know, government relies on, and I think people don't really understand that understand this. The only source of revenue that government has is money it takes from people by force. And so when there's no money that can be taken, the government doesn't get any money. The government doesn't create wealth. It doesn't produce wealth. It doesn't create money. And so all the money they get is what's taken from citizens and businesses, which are ultimately citizens. So, you know, during this time of COVID-19, we're seeing an unprecedented demand for more government services, more government handouts. And yet at the same time, the tax revenues and other revenues that come into the government are shrinking fast. And, you know, I know that many of our climate change friends are exulting in the situation of the oil and gas industry right now. But, you know, state revenues are going to be impacted because as oil and gas business contracts, severance tax payments to the state will contract and there will be less money to provide state services. So, you know, it's a real problem. And it's you know, you can almost call it a perfect storm because you know, there's just not going to be enough money in the budget for them to do the things they want to do. And in fact, you know, one report I saw said that they're expecting a $1 billion less, you know, shortfall in tax revenues next year. And that's a, you know, significant amount of money in a $32 billion state budget. So, you know, I think that when they do come back in session, they're going to have to make some hard choices. And, you know, fortunately for us and for freedom, you know, a lot of the progressive wish list agenda items are just not going to be fiscally possible.
So what do you think, though, about the states looking to the federal government to come in and backfill them. There was a piece, just a headline from yesterday that Patty had found, that Mitch McConnell says that states should go ahead and be able to declare bankruptcy, and he wants to hit a pause on federal aid. So, you know, they're printing money at the federal level, and you just can't keep printing to backfill the states. And I think that a lot of these progressives, again, I don't think they understand economics. And so I think they just think that there's, again, a money tree. Well, in a way, they're kind of acting like that at the federal government, of just printing money. But what do you think about this idea that states should be able to declare bankruptcy? What do you think about that?
I think that's a terrible idea. You know, the state takes money from people by force to provide government services. And, you know, in our perfect world, those government services are to protect life, liberty, and property, which means law enforcement, you know, court system, and, you know, means for you know, adjudicating transactions and so forth. But, you know, governments shouldn't really require a whole lot of money. You know, when you get down to the brass tacks of what the proper role of government is. So allowing states to be fiscally irresponsible and to declare bankruptcy, you know, at the end of the day, it's the citizens of that state who are funding that state government. So basically, you know, if a state declares bankruptcy, what does that mean? That they don't have to pay back the revenue bonds they may have issued, or other indebtedness they may have issued, which puts the, you know, people who loan them money on the hook for that. You know, it's a chain of events. It's like people who say, well, I shouldn't have to pay rent. Well, what about the landlord who has to pay a mortgage on that property, or a commercial real estate, you know, company who operates properties for a profit and you know, has vendors of its own that need to be paid. So it's, you know, it's all interconnected, and you can't just pick one piece out of it and say, oh, we're not going to do that, or we're going to allow a state to go bankrupt.
So, yeah, it could create a domino effect. That is for sure. So let's go to break, Rick Turnquist. And when we come back, let's continue on talking about this proper role of government. And what is your blog? Where can people find your blog at, Rick?
Sure. My blog is called To Advance Freedom, toadvancefreedom.com. And I have got some of my own material on there. And then you can also find my writing on Kim Monson's website under featured articles.
Most definitely. And those are really important pieces. And you'll learn a lot if you take a look at those. So let's go to break. This is Kim Munson. I'm on the line with Rick Turnquist. We'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Podcast, the shows are there. You can find Rick Turnquist's op-eds there. It's a great place. There's a lot of great information. Also, if you would like to take part in this video shoot that we're doing tomorrow night out in the Parker area, to wish Melania Trump a very happy birthday. It's one of her big birthdays. Email me at kim@kimmunson.com, and I will get you the information a little bit later this morning. So, Rick Turnquist, we were talking about government, and government needs to shrink. I've always said that. So maybe there's a silver lining in this whole COVID-19 thing, is that it needs to shrink. And I've heard that there can be as much of a shortfall as up to $3 billion of the Colorado budget, which that would be just south of 10%. But through the CARES Act, Colorado received over $2 billion and for that was supposed to go to local governments and county governments. And there was actually some carved out. There's five counties that have more than a half million people. And in the CARES Act, they actually got designated amounts of money. So what is left is about $1.7 billion that is supposed to go to the rest of the counties and like 259 municipalities, counties, and tribes. And it went to Governor Polis's office. And instead of sending that out where it needed to go, where it was supposed to go, and again, I mentioned that the wording is so important. The wording was a little nebulous on that. And so it doesn't say exactly how that goes to the counties. And so he's going to give that to the legislature, and then they're going to get to decide where that money goes. And they're not even going to convene until, you know, several weeks out. So that means that money is sitting there. But initially, Polis had said that he was going to maybe use that money to backfill the Colorado budget. What do you think about that, Rick Turnquist?
Well, there's so many things to say about that, Kim. let's start with the fact that you know, maybe the wording was a little bit nebulous by design, so that you know, individual governors could do what they thought was best with that money. But let's get down to the first part of the whole thing. The money under the CARES Act is all you know, provided by the federal government, which has two ways of raising revenue. One is through taxation, which is again taking money from productive people by force, and the other way is through issuing debt, which you know, my understanding is a large amount of our debt is held by the country that gave us this virus in the first place. So, you know, I think that, you know, when we talk about government revenue and spending, you know, I don't think we have a revenue problem. We clearly have a spending problem. And to think that this money that's coming to the states under the CARES Act is just magical money. No, it's not. It's, you know, it's got real costs in terms of, you know, lost wealth to people or higher interest costs paid to hostile foreign powers for holding our debt. So, you know, the money under the CARES Act is problematic to begin with. But then when it comes to the state, you know, clearly the money was intended to help individual counties and cities and so forth. And for a governor to say, oh, no, I'm not going to use what this money is intended for. I'm going to, you know, give it to the legislature for their pet projects. I think that's just clearly, you know, against the spirit of the CARES Act and probably, you know, against the intent of the Congress, which I, you know, which after all is our elected representatives. So I think that's a real problem. And I think that Governor Polis is definitely overstepping his bounds on that one.
Well, and I think that these radical activist progressives have not really had to be under the microscope of public opinion, because, you know, they're the ones that they've said that they were tolerant, but we find out they're not. They say that we should coexist, but actually, no, they don't. They say that they thought that Donald Trump was a dictator, but actually they are. So this has been so interesting. And so, you know, under the CARES Act, you probably saw the headline that Harvard and Ruth Chris Steakhouse and Columbia and Cornell, a lot of these big businesses or big institutions received millions of dollars under the CARES Act, which again, the intent was to help Main Street businesses be able to stay in business. And so Donald Trump mentions from his press conference about that he was going to ask Harvard to give the money back. Harvard gives the money back. You're starting to see some of these big institutions and big businesses that got money start to give it back. And public opinion, people are now paying attention. When we felt fat and happy, people would say, oh, I'm not into politics. And you and I'd always say, well, politics is into you. And now they know politics is into you, Rick Turnquist.
Right. And, you know, that's a great point, Kim. You know, the intention of the CARES Act, let's leave aside the question of whether it's right or wrong, but the intention of it was to allow big businesses and counties and localities to help the people who are impacted by this. And believe me, every day I think about it. I know people who've lost their jobs or whose businesses are at risk because of this this shutdown. And, you know, I feel for them. I really do. And so the intention of the CARES money is to help individuals, not large organizations. So, you know, when I find that Kennedy Center was supposed to get some money, like $25 million, and then they ended up laying off their musicians anyway, you know, it clearly shows that, you know, government is a blunt force instrument. It's not really, you know, finely tuned or designed to achieve the results that it's the intended results all the time. So it, you know, I think it was, it may be well intentioned, but it certainly has not turned out to be, you know, quite effective in the real world.
So let's talk about proper role of government. A couple of things. I had been talking with one of our local politicians, and I said, you know, I am very concerned about the continued growth of government. And she said, but Kim, we are having more and more demand for services, and so that's why we need more revenue. And I'm like, wait a minute. You know, who is demanding these services from government? And I realized that we have a bit of a public relations challenge, that people look to government as a solution instead of to themselves. And it used to be the American idea was that we look to ourselves to solve a problem instead of government. And when I was on the city council, one of the things I always looked at with spending is, A, is this the proper role of government? And is this something that, if it was my own money, would I think that it was, you know, again, the proper role of government, and that it was being done efficiently and correctly? And if the answers were no on that, then typically I voted no on that. And so that is a question that people should ask when they are in a position in government, is, would I do this with my own money? And if the answer is no, then probably we shouldn't be doing it. Your comment, Rick?
Well, you know, Kim, I think that, you know, progressive parents raise their children to think that government's the answer to everything in our society. And I think that our schools probably teach that as well. And the fact of the matter is, you know, this country was built by people who relied on themselves and their friends and their families to get things done. The only thing they wanted from government was to stay out of their way. And, you know, it's unfortunate that our society has morphed to the point where people actually want more. You know, people always want things from government, but government can only provide things by taking things from other people. And, you know, the perfect example of this is the whole family leave idea. You know, the proponents of this plan over the years have talked about all the benefits of it, and they ignore the side that, you know, it's going to be imposing payroll taxes on every single worker in the state. So the single mom who's working two jobs to keep afloat in this world is going to be paying more in taxes to fund this family leave. And, you know, and that's $10 or so out of a paycheck for somebody who's making 40 grand a year is, you know, that's real money, and it makes a real mm-hmm. difference. So, you know, they think that government can do everything, but government can only do the things that it can, you know, in order to do these things, it has to take money from people, and that money is taken by force. And think about all the money that's lost through taxes that could be used to build businesses or fund college educations or whatever the person wants to do with it, because after all, it's their money and they earned it.
Well, and Art Laffer is out there starting to advocate for a pause on payroll taxes, and I think ultimately getting rid of payroll taxes, which that is a significant expense for both the employer and the employee. And so that is an instant way to really get the economy going, and I hope that that gets some legs to that, Rick Turnquist.
Oh, I think that's a wonderful idea. And not only, you know, one of the things that we're learning from this virus is government is actually, you know, an impediment to solving problems. You know, during the press conferences, they were talking, well, we're going to lift this rule or we're going to suspend that rule so that the private sector can do this and that and the other. in order to fight this virus. And, you know, I think one of the conversations we need to have as we're in the reopening phase of the world is to, you know, what government does to impede the effective, you know, health enhancement of the public and roll back those regulations and rules that don't make any sense.
Well, and just very quickly, one of those things that I never thought made any sense was this ban on plastic bags or a tax on plastic bags, because we were seeing people bring in filthy reusable bags into the grocery store. And I'm like, that's not a good idea. Well, now as we're now Mr. Clean here because of the COVID-19, we see that that was really a dumb idea. So we've got about a minute. Rick Turnquest, what's the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, the final thought is, I think it all, you know, all of this comes down to personal responsibility and you know, managing your personal risks and doing what's right for you and your family. And, you know, if you're a younger person, recognize that, you know, you've got to be aware that, you know, your actions could impact others. And, you know, I think we need to start reopening the economy, and we need to start, you know, getting out there and earning our livings again so that we can avoid an economic collapse, avoid an economic collapse and recover to where we were before.
Most definitely. So Rick Turnquest, thank you so much. And again, what is your blog? Where can people find that?
It's To Advance Freedom, Kim. And thanks a lot for having me on the radio today. Hopefully next month we can be in person.
That would be awesome. So Rick Turnquest, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim.
Okay, and our quote for today is from Euripides, and he says, action achieves more than words. Imagine that. Action achieves more than words. So today, be careful, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Young. Like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I